Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast with me, your host, Dawn Owen. I'm a wife, a mom, and an entrepreneur, a speaker, a zero BS coach, and a lover of the high vibe life. I help business leaders like you create huge breakthroughs in their life and business so that you can achieve the freedom and impact you want and deserve. In this podcast, you will hear me talk all about mindset, money, and magic. The power trio that I know will get you where you want to go fast. This is the High Vibe Tribe podcast. So let's get to it and introduce my guest for today. So she's a multi, I tell you, award-winning networker, a best-selling author. She's got all of the things going on. She's the founder of the Women's Business Network. It's Sharon Luca. Oh, hang on, I forgot something else. One quarter of the amazing GWIBs, as I call us, the Great Women in Business. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Dawn. Lovely to be here at last.
And the sun's out a little bit today, which is nice. We were just talking yesterday. The weather was absolutely awful. So, yeah. So my first question, I haven't had a guest for ages. I've had some chats, but not some guests. So how high is your vibe right now on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this. I would say I'm about a 7 at the minute. But
By the time
we've finished, I'll be a lot higher than that.
Yeah, you know what? I always say I hate 7 because it's just like in the middle. So it's like, it's just, and I think it's because like, we don't want to say 6 because that sounds like, oh, that doesn't sound too good. But 8 feels too much. It was like 7's a good solid safe number in the middle. So yeah, cool. So on your website, Sharon, it says, and I quote, Sharon's journey has been a remarkable transformation from a shy and quiet child to a dynamic and successful entrepreneur. Tell us about that. That's a huge question, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I often tell my story because as a child, I was painfully shy. School wasn't great for me because of my shyness. I didn't really mix that well. I was very much on the outside, watching all the cool kids, wishing I was one of them, basically. And I think because of that, I lacked a little bit in confidence outwardly. Inwardly, I've always been very much of the mindset that I'll find a way to do something if I want to do it. But outwardly, I found it really difficult to sort of be confident and interact and get really stuck in with everybody. And I think that really came back and highlighted that to me when I started my own business, because I started from a complete standing start. I was never an aspiring business owner. I was always the one who had the job and brought the income in. My husband was always the entrepreneur and took the risks. And I was the one that kept the ship steady by bringing the money in. And it was purely by accident that I started my own business. And that was purely because my career had gone from doing sort of admin, PA sort of work in my early days, because I left school not having a clue what I wanted to do. So my mum packed me off to secretarial college because that was what she'd done.
Yeah.
So I sort of fell into then sort of admin roles and PA and receptionist and that sort of thing. And then I decided that my car was pretty naff at the time, so I wanted a job that would give me a company car. So I was scrolling through the Evening Mail, as that was the way you got a job back in the 80s.
True, and, yes.
Came across an advert for Dixon's estate agents, advertising a sales role that included a company car. So I was like, right, that's got my name all over it. So I applied, got the job.
Lovely.
And that's how I became an estate agent for 7 years. And then I sort of then fell into banking again. There was no strategy to any of this. It was just opportunity arose, and I thought, right, okay, I'll go for that. So then I worked for NatWest Bank for 8 years. I became a qualified mortgage advisor. I used to work in the centre of Birmingham on their in-bank call centre, setting up mortgage applications. I also did a little bit of a HR role while I was at the bank as well, recruiting for my old position. So real mixed bag of going in my career. And in the meantime, then I had two children as well. So I'd gone part-time at the bank and was offered voluntary redundancy because at the time it was when NatWest was being bought out by the Royal Bank of Scotland and they were doing a lot of changes. So my role then was relocated to Manchester and I decided 6 months back from maternity leave, I was very much not in work mode. So I took redundancy and had a little bit of extra time with my youngest. And at the time, my husband had recently taken over a car sales site. He'd been into, he's loved cars all of his life, but he'd done a bit of working from home, and then he got an opportunity to take on a big car sales site just down the road from where we lived. So he got sort of going with that while I was looking after the children, and then he was going from strength to strength and needed some extra support. So we spent 3 years working together running that business. I run all the back office and managed everything from that side of things. He was very much the salesperson out there doing all the sales, and I think I just really recognised that there was a lot of people like him out there that were very good at what they did but weren't necessarily any good in the background or any of
totally
that.
True.
Yeah. So when the recession came and pulled the rug out from beneath us a little bit, and we were at a position where he was like, you're gonna have to go and get a job, we can't keep going out for both of us in this position, it was sort of go and get a job, or what can I do, because I've got two young children. We also like to go to Cyprus as much as we could, so it was like, I need flexibility that a job is probably just not going to give me. So I thought, I know, I'll go the easy route. I'll start a business.
Yes, that easy route. Yes, of course.
How naive was I? Yes, I started a business. I hadn't got a single client, a single contact, didn't know what I was doing particularly. And fortunately, very quickly, I discovered networking. And thanks to that, a lot of things changed from there. So yeah.
And what business was that, Sharon?
I set up as it was called Your Local PA, and it was a admin support business, basically supporting small business owners. So
you said in the recession, do you mean like the one, the 2007-2008?
I started my business in April 2009. So not only was I starting from a standing start, I was starting in the middle of a recession as well.
Well, yeah, that, and also like nowadays, like VA is, because that's kind of what you were, I suppose. Yeah. You know, like most business owners would know that phrase then. But I guess back then, I'm just thinking, like, I started my own business in 2012, I think it was. And I hadn't heard of a VA until I went networking and I met one, but they weren't as prolific as they are today. And I'm really interested to see that, like, so you were kind of at the forefront, really, of that, I would imagine, when people go, you know.
Yeah, going networking and saying I was a virtual PA and got some very strange looks.
Yeah, I can imagine.
One of those. And yeah, when you think now, like, everybody knows what a VA is, and everybody has got at least one. So yeah, it was very different then. And I thought, to be honest, that I'd invented it, but then I realised that it had been going there for a lot longer. Back in the 80s that people were working more remotely. But yeah, so yeah, I was there before a lot of the others. But yeah, I just love as well. I think as soon as I got networking and started to pick up some really good clients, and I soon had a full client list, which was fantastic. But I think the other thing I loved about it was just the variety of the job and working with different business owners. And I think especially when I started out as well, I said yes to anything anybody asked me to do, whether I knew how to do it or not, because
we always do. Yeah, that's what you do, isn't it? You've got to pay the bills, so you say yes to any job and any person as well, even though sometimes they're like, oh yeah, no, I know they're going to be an absolute bloody nightmare, but we got to pay the bills, you know. Anyone with a check, I would say, for those of you listening who don't know what a check is, I don't even want to tell you because I'm jealous. But yeah, but it would have been a check in those days, wouldn't it? But you know, anyone with a check, it's like, yeah, I'll take you on. So then you set up your own PA business. And then, like you mentioned about networking there and how valuable that was to you. And I know you've done bits and pieces of other things, but do you think that was the big factor in deciding to set up your own network as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I definitely recognise that. It was really key, I think, to me, those people that helped me in those early days. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd have seen 12 months in business without that sort of, or if I hadn't discovered networking, I think I'd have given up long before. So it was definitely the help and support that I got that means that I attribute to the fact that I'm still in business today. Was if I hadn't met those people in the early days, then I think I would have given up and gone back to to getting a job. So, and that's why I decided to start running my own networks as soon as I opened my business centre at the end of 2013. And I'd got a nice big meeting room. So that was it that I started running my own. And I started out actually with other PAs. I went on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Just connected with people local to me, just said what I was doing, said did they fancy meeting up just to share ideas and best practices, and also support really for if we'd got clients that we weren't able to help or we wanted cover for anything. And that's how my first networking group started. It was with other people that were doing the same as me. So I think I've always had a real strong belief in collaboration over competition.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning, really, because I've always recognised we've all got our own, everybody is unique no matter what we're doing, aren't we? We've all got different backgrounds, different skill set, different things we want to do and offer. So, so that's why it's always been collaboration.
I think that seemed to be one of the big things for the GWBs, right? Because Great Women in Business is too long to say. We haven't got time. GWBs. You know, that we talked about that in the beginning, the four of us, that it was all about collaboration. But I think still I was quite staggered at the effect, the ripple effect of that had on people. You know, a lot of the people afterwards, the attendees, were kind of blown away about the collaboration aspect. And I think, you know, for me, ignore it at your peril, because as you said, Sharon, we're all different. You know, let's face it, there's only one Dorno and we don't want another one going around. But we all have that, you know, that different take on things. And I quite often recommend other coaches to people. I'm like, I don't think I'm the one for you, or I don't think I can give you what it is that you're looking for. And so I'll refer other people. And I think, you know, just looking at people as competition for me is wrong. And they're, you know, for you, it birthed your whole business. So how did you go from having the PAs around networking to then, you know, a networking organisation?
Yeah, basically we had a few PAs and then the numbers started to dwindle. So then I said I was going to open it up to all women in business. And in fact, it was funny because it was an event I went to that Michelle Walsh was hosting.
Oh, okay.
So that's got to be back in probably about 2015, 2016. I went to an event she hosted. And I think that was the first time I'd been to a big women-only event, because before that, all the networking I did was all very much mixed networking. And even in the early days when I started out, there weren't that many women-only networks. It was very mixed in those days. And I just felt the energy and the vibe in the room full of women was just so uplifting and positive that I just decided, because the numbers were dwindling, I decided I was going to open it up to all women in business. And again, there wasn't going to be any one-seat policies or anything. It was very much going to be just a place where you could be yourself, because I think that was something I always struggled with in my early days, that it was very sort of a bit corporate networking, a bit of the boys network and the suits and what have you. So I didn't always feel comfortable, and I wanted to create a space where everybody felt comfortable, and if they wanted to ask a question, no matter how, whatever it was, that there was never a silly question, you could always ask it. So it was just providing that sort of space that probably I hadn't really found at that time. So
I think when I think back to when I started networking, which is around a similar time that you're talking about, you did have the, you know, there was the mixed networking definitely, but certainly felt male heavy, and I came from corporate, so I was kind of, I was okay in that environment. But then I think when I experimented with women's networking, and I'll say this because it's me, obviously I can say this, it's just, it was a bit too soft, if you know what I mean. So you went from, it's almost like, what, we don't want that hard push, really male, masculine feel, but then it went too airy-fairy, I would say, of like, well, let's just all stand around and have a cup of coffee. Yeah. And there has to be that kind of bit in the middle. And we all talked about this when we talked about networking at the International Women's Day event, of like, because you've got to go with some purpose and do something with the networking. Otherwise, it can become a huge drain. And I've been through that as well, where I went networking everywhere because you're like worried you're going to miss that one bit of business. So, yeah. So how did that then develop into what you've got today?
Yes, I mean, the networking start was just very much a very small element of what I did. So obviously, I'd still got my PA business. the same year that I opened my business centre, I also went into business with one of my clients. She was a quality and environmental consultant. I'd been supporting her in sort of an admin function initially. Then she got me more and more involved. She started taking me into my clients. And then the next thing, she offered me half of her business if I'd go into business with her. She was already at retirement or just beyond retirement age at that point. So I decided that because I didn't know how much longer she would want to continue for, and I didn't know whether I'd have enough knowledge and experience to carry on the business myself without her supporting, I said that I would do it, but also that I wanted to be able to retain my PA clients as well. So she was happy to work part-time as well. So I was working part-time for the consultancy business and then part-time still looking after my PA clients. So that carried on 2019, just before COVID. So I was running both of those. And my network then was just a once a month meetup at my offices. So it wasn't really taking up an awful lot of my time. And we got regular, our room was full. So I didn't have to really market or anything. I was still obviously networking everywhere else to promote the other businesses. But then COVID happened and my members said, I mean, we actually had our last meeting the Friday before we went into lockdown the following week. They said there was sort of whispers of something funny was going on and we didn't know what was going to happen. And a couple of my members said, I wonder if there's any way we could have an online telephone call or whatever. So I remember going online and finding, it wasn't even Zoom, I think it was or something. I don't know what I was doing, but I managed to host then the first Wednesday lockdown, and my members all came on, and there was a mixture of, there was tears and all sorts, but we just had a couple of hours where we were just chatting and just supporting each other. And I carried on running those every Wednesday for the first 3 months of the first lockdown. Wow. And people just started inviting other people. And then we had people coming from abroad. And it was just really bizarre. We were living in a bizarre time anyway. But for me, it was like I've gone from a meeting room in Tamworth to people from Portugal and Europe and that coming to my meetings. What's going on?
It's crazy, you know, now when I think, like, it's 4 years ago, isn't it? And it's like, it's gone in the blink of an eye. But it's almost unbelievable. It is almost like something out of a film when you think, particularly in those early days when none of us knew what was going on and what was going to happen. And it was only 3 weeks and then it was another two and then it was this and then it was that. And then, you know, look where we ended up. But yeah, it's crazy. So then again, an involvement from that. And then was it called the Women's Business Network then?
So basically, after that first 3 months, when I really started to recognise then that now we're in the online world, it just opened up so many more opportunities and meant that I could connect with a much wider audience, that I thought there's something in this, because I'd always loved the networking side of things. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'll do it properly. So I registered the name and set up the limited company, got the website. So we actually launched, I think it was a date in June, I think the limited company was registered. Okay. And we launched officially in the July of 2020. And yeah, we've just gone from strength to strength. We meet online on Zoom twice a month. We've got a private Facebook group, which I've actually now just moved off this, just this month, I've moved off Facebook into my own community app now. So yeah, we're just very much a supportive environment where we bring women together. We do focus on, whilst there's not any sort of one-seat policy lockouts from that term of things, but I do just focus on supporting women who are running their own businesses, because I do see that they have very different challenges to women who are in business and employment.
Yeah, completely.
I have niched into, I just want to support, and predominantly they're solopreneurs as well.
Yeah.
Predominantly as well working from home, not all of them, but most of them work from home. So it's just bringing people together who are at all stages of their journey. I'm also at the moment looking to attract, and I do seem to be attracting people who are very new to business and just starting.
Okay. That's good as well, though, isn't it? That they've got somewhere, they've got a home to go to.
I think it just makes such a difference when we can all learn from each other. And the sooner you do learn, the more success you're going to have. And there's less mistakes to be made, because we're there to help you and tell you what mistakes we made.
Oh, no, yeah. Don't do this, for God's sake. Don't make the mistakes I made. What I love about that is that I quite often say to my clients, look, don't make it hard and complicated for yourself, because that makes you think that you're stuck. So if you'd have said in 2013, you know, I'm going to launch this women's business network and we're going to have an online thing and we're going to have a website and we're going to have all of this, you'd have been like, oh, how do I do that? And it probably would not have got started at that point. But actually, you've just grown with it. And even what you just said there, I had a Facebook group and then I've just moved it on to a community. And I think quite often what I definitely see in all business owners, not just women, is this thing where we think we've got to have all of the steps figured out first and then take the action. You know, I wanted to start a podcast for a year before I did, but I just thought, oh, it seems really complicated. I hadn't met my producer at that point. So hence, that was how my Facebook group was born, because I was like, well, I can go in there and not do lives, because, you know, we all know I like talking, and I can do that instead of a podcast, and I can do that today. And that's literally what I did. I thought, right, bin the podcast off and I'll do that. And then a year later, that's when I did the podcast. And I would really encourage people, I mean, you've seen here from Sharon's story, just like, it's the next step. We don't need to have the next 52 steps, just the next step and the next step. You know, you could have waited and said, I'm not going to do the Facebook group thing, I'm going to wait till I've got the community app sorted out. But, you know, you've been building in the background, and it's just take the next step.
It's the same with, I mean, I launched my podcast in February, and that was, I'd been talking about it for 18 months. I'd had three episodes recorded for 12 months. But because I couldn't work the tech out, I just didn't bother, because it just all seemed too much hassle. And then I met the lady who's produced my first series, and then I was able to do it, because it wasn't the fear of getting the guests or even the recording the episodes. It was what has to go on then.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's honestly. So I'm interviewing my podcast editor next after I've recorded this podcast. And, you know, I just love the fact that I met him. I actually met him through networking. And it just, I mean, I always say I love doing the podcast. And the fact that all I've got to do is do this, and then just send it, and by some magic, it all appears all over the internet and everything. I'm just like, yeah, there's no way I would do it if I had to do all the tech piece. It would just make it such a big deal. And, you know, it just make it the ball ache, basically, which I don't want. I just want it to be fun, and it would take all the joy out of it. So we've got this network set up in 2020, 4 years later now. There's been a book as well. And I know this story, but like, share it with everybody else. That was kind of almost accidental in how that came about, wasn't it?
There's a bit of a pattern here, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
But I think they just show that once I do grab onto something, that's it. It's like, if I've made my mind up, then I'll make it happen. So as we do, I've always been very keen. And again, I think this step stems from my sort of shyness and lack of confidence when I started networking. I've always made sure at every single meeting I've ever hosted, everybody gets a chance to introduce their business, and everybody gets a chance to speak. So everybody in every meeting goes around and we do our introductions, or if we're doing a business clinic, they have more time and they talk about any challenges and we can brainstorm and what have you. But we were going around in one session and I was just listening to everybody talking about their business and what they do and their areas of expertise. And it just suddenly hit me how much knowledge and experience that we had in the group, how many years a lot of our members have been in business, and what they have learned and got to share. And I just happened to flippantly say, we should write a book. And I said that in the earshot of Shelley Wilson, who's a book mentor also. that flippant comment then suddenly became, right, okay, we're going to write a book. And she, thanks to Shelley, again, without her guidance and support, I wouldn't have wanted to face the mammoth task. But 20 of our members collaborated to write the Women's Business Network Guide to Becoming a Successful Entrepreneur. Wish we'd have had a shorter title.
That's funny.
And typing it when you're typing about it as well.
It's like the great women in business, see? That's why I call it the GWIBS,
So 20 years, and we decided to do it based on a business journey as well. So starting right from your initial ideas through the planning stages and finance and getting your company set up and accounts, right through to marketing, social media, SEO, all sorts of things. But we also wanted to include the element as well of your mindset and managing stress and what have you, because that's obviously another big part of running a business, and onto things like lessons learned and ensuring you review and what have you. So it was a really interesting product that took a little while to get there when you're managing 20 different people.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, flipping heck, yeah.
Deadlines were a little bit difficult to keep on track, but no, we managed to get it done and completed. In fact, I've got a copy here. So yes,
yay.
Got it printed and onto Amazon. And within the first 24 hours, we managed to get it on the number one bestseller under the home category. So that was amazing because, again, I've seen a lot of, it's funny now, in the last couple of years, I know so many authors, and you will as well, won't you, Dawn, that we've met, everybody seems to be writing books. And again, that was something that I never, failing my English exam, never thought writing a book was in my...
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and I think it's brilliant. And that was about a year ago, is it? Just coming up for nearly a year now.
Yeah, we launched that last October. So,
Was it only last October? Yeah. I felt like it was before that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So, done the book. We've launched the online thing. We've got this community now. What is next?
So what is next is we are running a boot camp on the back of our book. So we wanted to expand on the knowledge we've already shared in the book. So we've got 16 of our members who are all contributing to some little mini workshops that we are going to. We were originally going to deliver it live, but we've decided we want to make it accessible to everybody and for people to be able to get what they want out of it. So we've got 16 topics that are going to be pre-recorded online offerings where people can then just buy what they need at the time. So if they're struggling with the marketing and want some help and guidance on that, then they can just purchase that lesson. We've got them, again, we've covered a lot of the topics that were covered in the book. So we've got planning, accounting, marketing. We've got a health and lifestyle one as well. So we've expanded even more on the healthy side of things, because I think, again, that's something we've recognised even more so after planning the book, that yourself, haven't you, to be able to
100%, you know, so I've learned that the hard way, really only like in the last 6 months probably. I keep saying that I've learned it, but then I just keep, like, I don't know the word burnout, but smoke out, you know, having like a mini burnout almost. And then I got COVID and shingles last year, and I was like, that's it, that's got to be the last time, because, you know, I can't do all the things I want to do if I don't look after myself first. So I think it is hugely important.
Well, that's how I ended up just focusing that, because my main focus now is the network. Because in February last year, I was close to burnout, and I was just trying to juggle too many things.
Yeah.
I had downscale. I'd only got a couple of PA clients left, but I was still doing my quality work and still trying to expand the network. And I was just spreading myself too thinly, getting completely stressed out. And I just recognised that I wasn't serving myself or anybody. So
no. And also, I think when you've got three things, and, you know, that there are lots of people out there who do have lots of business, but they also have huge teams behind them as well. It's like, I think it is confusing for other people almost, because, like, when you rock up networking, what is it that you're going to talk about? You've got this, and it's like, you know, we know confused mind never buys. So it's like, oh, I'm not sure what it is, so I just won't do anything. So, you know, I think that was, and look what's happened, you know, since you made that decision.
And I think that's it, yeah, when you decide. I've done a lot of personal development work on myself over the last 12 months, which I think helped as a result of feeling the way I was, decided that things needed to change. So I've done a lot of work. I've worked with a lot of different people who have really helped me, but I think they just really got me to think. The big change for me was I did a 6-week online program that a coach out in Antigua that I'd met, and that was really getting you to think about your purpose and your true nature and what you're meant to be doing.
Yes.
And your heart, really, because, and I think that's the thing, and I think something that I've realized now that I am just focusing on this, and this is where my passion lies, is that you're then in flow and everything just suddenly becomes so doing what you want to do.
Yeah. The push goes, grace and ease are the words that I use with my clients. That's what you want. You know, most of the people that I work with tend to be a little bit older as well. It's like, we don't want all that shit now. We don't want the 16-hour days. And I find now, actually, if someone says to me, yeah, I work 16-hour days, it actually gives me the ick. Okay, I've got just got to say, I hate the word ick. I don't know why I use it. The word ick gives me the ick, but it's a great word for a description. It's just when they go like that, I'm just like, I'm completely turned off. I'm like, it's not a badge of honour, I don't think, anymore. I don't think that is how we work anymore. And it's certainly not how I or the people around me want to work.
And I think even down to where you feel as though people are saying, you've got to be doing this, you've got to be on TikTok, you've got to be doing Y and Z. And actually, I think I've got to the point where, well, no, actually, no, if that doesn't suit me, I'm not going to do it. And
exactly.
Took a long time to get to that point, but and that's what I try and really encourage to people who are on their earlier stages. And I've said to one of my members last week, who is very new to business, I said, just be careful, because everybody will be telling you you've got to do everything and you'll be overwhelmed. You think you've got to be in a million places. I said, just focus on the real core things that are important to you. And
just, well, just sell. Just go and get some clients if you're new in business. You know, when I meet people, they're like, oh, I'm thinking about my branding, I'm this, I'm that. I'm like, just get a client, get some money in the bank. Things feel so much better when you've got money in the bank, you know, and your branding and your cards and all of that can come afterwards. Just go and get some money in the bank and you'll feel so much better. So what's next now? Boot camps up and running almost. What's next?
Still focusing on that. I'm working on my second series for my podcast. So
nice.
Just working on that. And I'm really just trying to and I think the reason for my cast and also the free Facebook community that I run is just trying to reach those people who haven't discovered networking and haven't got that support network around them, because I know there must be lots of women out there who are running a business on their own and would really value and welcome that support that's just that they're probably not even aware of. So it's just trying to reach those people, because I think the difficulty as well when you run a network business is going networking in other places. I mean, we're really fortunate that our collaborators, we've got together, we can all go to each other's events and not we haven't got a problem with each other. But I think sometimes you can't network in other places. And as well, I think when people have got, and that's the beauty of us where we are in the Midlands, is that there's some really good support networks already there. I mean, so they're not really my target audience, because I know they're all looked after really well by the people that we collaborate together with. So
absolutely. And also it just reminded me then, again, going right back to when I started in business, I remember the first networking event I went to and I was like, oh, God, what's this? Like, I've never heard of it. And I think sometimes you forget, like anything, like things that are everyday to us are still like transformational to other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my first networking event was Chamber of Commerce event. So I was like, oh, it's the chamber, it's quite formal and stuffy and whatever. I sat in a corner with my business partner at the breakfast. We didn't speak to a single person. I don't know what the fuck we thought we were doing. But then suddenly, because you're on a list, aren't you? And then it's like, this person invites you and this person. And I'm like, what is this world of networking? How has this been going on? I have been working for somebody else in a senior role for like 25 years and had never, ever been invited to a networking event or was even aware that that was such a thing that existed. Okay. So I think what I would say to all of the listeners is, if you meet people, invite them to networking events, the one that you think will suit them, because they might not even know that all of this, it's like a secret underground club that's not so underground. I mean, it's everywhere. And I was just like, how has this been going on everywhere? And I have never been aware of it. So there will still be people, women out there like that, who don't know about this kind of stuff. So, you know, invite them along.
Yeah, they might have even been in the past and been to an event and didn't like it because they didn't feel particularly comfortable. So I think that's the thing, isn't it? I put it in my Facebook group about, is there anybody who's dipped their toe and run for the hills because it wasn't for them, sort of thing.
Absolutely.
It might be that they were just in the wrong place, and it is a matter of
completely
what's the right place for you.
So many different ones, like the people. There are so many different people. You know, there are so many different types of networking, and it is about finding the one that suits you. So we'll put a link to all Sharon's stuff in the show notes and a link to the network as well, and where to find Sharon, where to connect with her. So thank you very much for chatting to us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can't see this because I don't do video. I always say this at the moment. And then Gary, my podcast producer, goes, do you want to start doing video? And like, the thing is, if I did video, I couldn't record in my like vest and pants on a Sunday morning. Could I couldn't run down the stairs and go, you know what? I've just had an idea. I'm going to record a podcast. I'd have to get all glammed up and whatever, because no one wants to see that. So but Sharon looks very glamorous, and it is just for us. She's not been anywhere else. So thanks for that. And yeah, I will be back next week with a brand new episode. In the meantime, you all know what to do. Keep those vibes high.
Thank you for listening to the High Vibe Tribe podcast with me, Dawn Owen. I'd love to know what your number one takeaway was from this episode. Feel free to screenshot the episode and tag me in on social media. And if you know someone who would enjoy it too, then don't keep it to yourself. Share the vibes. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you get notified as soon as the next episode drops. If you're not already a part of the High Vibe Tribe community over on Facebook, then come and join us there. The link is in the show notes. And I'll see you on the next episode. In the meantime, keep those vibes high.